Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental. NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
Getting rid of all the job-killing regulations that we've seen through executive orders, and again, a focus on rhetoric of creating jobs, and that certainly has added to that.
The White House is celebrating the latest monthly jobs report. Spokeswoman Sarah Huckabee Sanders noted the economy added 211,000 new jobs last month, and unemployment dropped to 4.4%. She gave a lot of credit for the success to the election of the president.
I think we saw from the very beginning, the minute that the president was actually elected, even before he took office, you saw consumer confidence go up. We've had meetings with countless CEOs, small business owners, people that are involved in job creation.
The White House not commenting on reports the Trump administration aims to gut the operations of the U.S. drug czar. The budget for the Office of National Drug Control and Policy reportedly slashed by 95%. A White House spokesman says they're committed to fighting drug abuse. USA Radio News.
For years, Ovation Cell Therapy has been repairing dry, damaged, flat, lifeless hair. I use Ovation and love it. What are you waiting for? The unique breakthrough cell therapy treatment uses amino acids, key nutrients, and vital proteins to nourish the scalp and treat the hair from root to end. You won't find a treatment like cell therapy in any other hair care line, and it's guaranteed. Whether you have wavy hair, tight curls, flat hair, damaged hair, Ovation has a cell therapy system just right for you. Get your healthy hair back. Now is the perfect time at OvationHair.com.
Time is running out. This is your last week to get Ovation's beautiful five-piece Mother's Day gift set at a savings of 50% and priced so low you can afford gift sets for every mom you know. But hurry while supplies last. Go to OvationHair.com. New customers should select this station at checkout for even greater savings. That's OvationHair.com, OvationHair.com.
Many in the world's political structure looking to France for this weekend's presidential elections. Bill Zinfer has a look.
It's being called the most important election in France in decades, and the candidates couldn't be any more different. Right-wing candidate Marine Le Pen wants to close the borders, restrict immigration, and leave the European Union, while 39-year-old centrist Emmanuel Macron would stay with the EU and remain open to immigrants. Macron has a 20-point lead in the polls heading into Sunday's balloting.
Lawyers for Mexican drug lord Joaquin El Chapo Guzman say they're having trouble putting together their defense. They complained to a judge today it's hard to communicate with El Chapo, and they have to hold up thousands of pages of documents against glass which separates them. The judge says he would send someone to the prison to check out the setup. Guzman accused of running a giant international drug trafficking ring. He's in solitary confinement in Manhattan. The trial date is for April of next year. More news and analysis of today's headlines at USARadio.com.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn for pre-1933.com. I've been the single biggest BBB, backer, believer, and buyer of gold for over 15 years. But now I've found a better way to buy gold. I found the Uber of gold. This company, pre-1933.com, will forever change the way gold is sold. Pre-1933.com is a wholesaler of pre-1933 gold. They have no salesmen, zero commission, prices no one can compete with. Call 855-PRE-1933. That's toll-free, 855-773-1933, or go to pre-1933.com.
Delta Airlines issuing an apology to a couple forced off a plane they claimed was overbooked, but wasn't. Here's the story.
Delta Airlines is now apologizing to a Southern California family who got kicked off a plane last month when the flight was overbooked. They say they bought a ticket for their baby to use while in the baby's car seat, but Delta workers told them they needed the seat so the family would have to hold the baby all the way from Hawaii to Los Angeles. They refused, and they say workers told them they'd be tossed in jail if they didn't get off the plane. Delta has issued an apology, though, and promises a full refund. I'm Chris Barnes.
Obviously, you'll see people all over the country celebrating Cinco de Mayo today, but do you know why they celebrate Cinco de Mayo? Here's the story.
It was on this date in 1862 when the outnumbered Mexican army defeated the invading French forces of Napoleon III at the Battle of Puebla. The Mexican military victory evolved over the years to become what it is today, a celebration of the rich heritage of music, dance, food, and culture. As the population of Mexican Americans has increased over the years, so has the popularity of Cinco de Mayo, especially for states near the Mexican border. There are an estimated 21 million Americans of Mexican descent living in the U.S.
The NTSB investigating a plane crash that killed two people in West Virginia. Yeager Airport in Charleston remains closed after a cargo plane veered off the runway and crashed into a hillside. Both the pilot and the co-pilot were killed, but no one on the ground hurt. USA Radio News.
Well, good afternoon. We're back. We're going to skip the weather other than to say it looks terrible today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Not the good weekend to be outside, but we're here with the sports guys. So John Manfreda and I will be here talking to you until our friend Bill finally gets here.
Good afternoon, Pat. Live from the studios of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey, and broadcast live across the internet, it's the Sports Guys.
Yes, and if you...
Good afternoon again, Pat, and what is the top news of the day?
Well, if you heard us last week, of course, we were talking about the draft, and I think it's now over. I think the consensus would have to be that the Browns did a great job in the draft, and I think that's probably due to the trade they made last year with Philadelphia. What do you think, John?
I think that's right. I think they used the picks prudently. I think that they went for best player available because they could just add talent because they're so deficient across the line, across the board, in all three phases of the game, offense, defense, special teams, that they just have to go get good players. And then, you know, maybe 2 years, maybe 3 years from now, if they have a quarterback, then you can start to build a team. They are literally years away, if for no other reason, unlike the Eagles, don't have that good young quarterback. to build on. I mean, the Browns and the Jets are, if you are fans of those organizations, you know, you are vilifying their front office. I mean, how can you put an NFL franchise in that situation? These teams are worth billions, and you've got nobody there to control the football or control the game from a, you know, athletic point of view, which is what a quarterback is supposed to do, is really run that game. So, I mean, you're right. You have to give Cleveland tip of the cap. I think they did a good job. But, you know, and unfortunately, Bill's not here. We can revisit this. But you look at the Giants and the Eagles.
Well, that's what I wanted to tell you next, because I wanted to ask you about the Giants, because it looked to me that the Eagles were doing some building for the future in most of their draft picks. What about the Giants? I may be wrong, but
you can argue that point. Certainly, I think with the Eagles, they need to rebuild their defense. So they took a corner who may not play next year, but is, if he recovers, will be, you know, all pro level guy, clearly one of the top corners in the draft.
Well, that's ideal, though.
And that's building for the future. On the Giants side, they took the second best tight end, in fact, maybe the best tight end for their offense. This guy's got blazing speed, is deadly up the seam of the zone, will greatly expand that offense. Last year, for all the talent they had on the offensive side of the ball, they struggled a lot because they couldn't run. So still the criticism, all right, you added another passing threat in the tight end. So you now have a plethora of talent at the wide receiver and tight end position, but can you run the ball? I mean, they wiped this kid out of West Virginia that had a good second half for them, but he's small. He's not a big back. They clearly still have to add someone because, Pat, let's face it, if they know you're going to throw the ball, unless you have Aaron Rodgers back there, you know, and Eli Manning at this stage of his career is just not Aaron Rodgers. They knew he was going to throw the ball, made it that much more difficult, and now you certainly have the tight end threat, which greatly facilitates Eli's game, but you needed to add a running back. And the other big thing is the offensive line. It was one of the weakest drafts in decades for the offensive line at a time when the Giants desperately need one, if not two more, offensive linemen. And you could say the same thing for the Philadelphia Eagles. Their offense is coming along nicely, but they certainly need more offensive linemen. And so do the Packers.
Well, true. And one of the things that I followed up this week, and I was surprised, and maybe it's just that I don't usually look at it, but the Packers also signed 15 rookie free agents.
Oh, now, there's no question the teams.
Did all of the teams do that?
The free agent, no question. And they'll find a couple of gems, you know, in the haystack there. They will.
Well, that's why.
Teams do. They usually sign one or two of these guys who, you know, scratch and claw their way onto the 53-man roster and wind up making a contribution. You never know.
Well, but right now, true. But right now, there's no number, right? I mean, they can sign.
I believe it's unlimited. Now, the cutdown doesn't start to like August, right, when they have to start cutting down eventually to the 53-man roster.
Well, that's why, you know, of course, I've always said this many, many times. I think there should be more than 53. But that's one of the reasons why I don't like to go to preseason games at Lambeau. I mean, if it was close, it wouldn't make any difference, but that's when they're trying out all of these young guys who, I think before that, they may have one cut, don't they? One or even two. But I know that
before the first preseason game?
I think so.
I think it might be 90-something. But there's still like 90.
No, I know.
It's almost irrelevant because anybody who doesn't make it to the first preseason game is really not NFL caliber, so it's irrelevant. But, yeah, then there's a cut down after each show.
But it was interesting to me to see. I mean, I think what happens is a lot of these kids who go to the small colleges, you know, that really, you know, nobody's really, they're not on their radar. But, you know, they're you know, like Marshall, Georgia Southern, Richmond, you know.
But they're not on TV every Saturday.
No, they're not.
They're not in the big bowl games, so people don't see
and
them.
And Valdosta State, which is, of course, in Georgia. And I mean, I'm just looking through the number of free agents at, you know, University of Manitoba. I mean, that's interesting. You never think of someone who's played football for a Canadian team.
Canadian
College, University of Manitoba. But, I mean, Brigham Young is not, I mean, we'll see people out of Brigham Young.
They're just looking for athletes. They're just, the kid has an athletic ability, because bottom line is, if he had any real football ability, he probably would have been drafted. So I think in a second level, they're saying, if we get a fast, strong, durable kid, we put him on special teams.
Yeah, but
we think that's what they're looking in and fill up their taxi squad, maybe. But I think you're looking to try to get one or two guys to get on special teams, because every team struggles filling that special teams roster.
You're right. But, I mean, one of the things, for example, this kid, Jonathan Kelvin, he played no, that's not who I'm thinking of. There's a kid by the name of Clark who played basketball for St. Francis. Have you ever heard of St. Francis College in Pennsylvania?
Absolutely.
Well,
absolutely.
He played basketball, and then he finally transferred to Marshall to play football.
Sure.
So, and in 2016 season was the first time he played organized football since his freshman year in high school. So obviously nobody would have taken somebody like that in the draft,
right.
And yet he's now a free agent. But then he started all 12 games he played last season, and 37 receptions for 632 yards. So this is a kid who, you know, out of nowhere, you know, certainly an elite starter, but could be someone that I'm glad the Packers gave him a chance. And it will be interesting to see, you know, if somebody who came that late in football, I mean, can you imagine, didn't play football from his freshman year in high school, then played 1 year in college, and now at least has a shot to become an NFL player.
Yes.
So, I mean, sure. Someone like that could be, you know, and if he was a basketball player, I don't know how tall he was, but, you know, obviously, you know, basketball players, not exactly a soccer player, but he'd have, you know, certain talents that, you know, hopefully he can run, and certainly maybe he can jump over everyone and, you know, make the team. So what else do you have to say about Giants? You know, what are you looking for with some of these rookies that they drafted?
Well, I mean, I think they got some depth, and maybe a couple of guys who a year or two from now might be looking to add, you know, to the defense. The defense played very well last year, and so it's an opportunity to have some kids sit for a year or so and watch, learn, maybe play some special teams. And, you know, as you know, Pat, it's a game of attrition. And the injuries have just killed
yes.
everyone. So if you draft some young people, you know, maybe you have a shot at, maybe they get a shot later in the year.
Well, that's true. I mean, I don't know anyone who can really predict at the beginning of the season, because that's the one thing we don't know. Who's going to be injured? Makes a big difference. I mean,
and
we certainly...
You've got that one key player. I mean, with very few exceptions, if any team loses their starting quarterback, they're not no longer a serious threat.
Well, but, and look what happened to the Packers when Jordy Nelson was out for that year.
Yes, that hurt them dramatically.
That,
but yet, was it last, 2 years ago, when Aaron was out, who was the backup quarterback who played and they won most of those games?
Well,
they
hung around because when Aaron came back, they won every one.
I guess that's true. I thought they did win one or two with the backup, no?
Oh, no, they did. But, I mean, the point is when Aaron came back, I mean, it was just great.
Yeah.
And but you have two. I mean, you're right. I mean, if that franchise quarterback is out and most of those teams, I mean, certainly the Packers, and I can't remember who played that. Was it Flynn? I can't believe I can't remember.
Speaking of quarterbacks and long shots, one of the things that surprised people on a couple of levels is this quarterback that the Giants drafted on the third round. I never even heard of this kid, and his name slips my mind right now. But basically, they're saying this kid has all the tools. He's not NFL ready, but they said next year, you know, if he were coming out one more year, he would be a first-round pick. This kid's got a cannon for an arm, a good presence, and they're going to let him sit for a year or two behind EY. He'll probably play a little in the preseason, and they're really, basically what it does is well, they have Geno Smith, who they picked up from
right.
The Jets, was coming back off an injury. You know, Geno's a serviceable backup, and you got to have a guy like that, because if something were to happen to EY this year, Geno Smith could come in and with that team win some games, okay? Even Geno Smith could win some games with that team. But what you're really looking at is, I think, a one, at most, two-year stopgap for Geno, unless somehow he comes back from this injury and finds himself and, you know, improves his ability. Kind of doubtful, because I think he is who he is. But, you know, not a bad backup. And now you've got the rookie they just drafted who is perhaps ready to go in 2 years.
And could be that franchise quarterback.
Could be that franchise
quarterback. You know, I remember when Brett Favre went in because of an injury. You know, there was a lot of question. Now, he had been with Atlanta for a year. I think only a year and hadn't really played.
Behind, I think Bartkowski at the time was still there, wasn't he? Wasn't Steve Bartkowski still in Atlanta?
Well,
I
think it might have been, and I don't remember much about Brett when he was in Atlanta, but the point is he came into Green Bay and he was able to go in and, you know, really make a difference from the very beginning. And but I think that most quarterbacks really, I mean, it must be so tough to go from college ball to the NFL in, you know, to do that your first year. And we know some quarterbacks that seem to have been great that first year, but then they didn't do so great after that. And
yeah, I mean, and you look at a few last year, you had Brock Osweiler come in, and he was a complete dud.
Right.
You had Wentz play, and you know, the signs were good. He won some games. The big knock on him is his ball goes high. He's not an accurate passer. And that's their biggest fear.
And I think that if Wentz, I really thought when Wentz came to Philadelphia, I thought he did better than I expected. He was somebody that I thought should sit on the bench for a year, maybe a season and a half, and would have been able to really improve.
I think in his case, you could make it, you're not wrong, certainly, but you can also make the case that because he came from a Division II school, and didn't have quite the exposure, quite the college career.
Exactly.
He needed that for just let a kid play.
That's...
And he showed
his
skill.
Oh, I see. So you think let him play where I would say let him sit back and learn a little bit.
I think so. I think they made the right move. I mean, certainly the plan was to have him play behind... help me out here.
I know. Both of us are doing the same thing.
Is something that, you know, when Bridgewater went down, the Vikings had to have somebody.
Right.
So the Eagles, I mean, you talk about stepping in it. They got a first-round pick for
I want to say McNabb. definitely wasn't.
Yeah,
I'm aging
the
myself.
Point is, nobody ever expected that, you know, and they got lucky. Because they used that pick here to get that. Their 14th pick was the defensive end, who's a very good player out of Tennessee. Definitely gets a push up front. Definitely he gets some pressure on the quarterback. That's a very good pick, I think, for the Eagles. And they never would have had that but for that trade. Now, if that trade had not happened to Minnesota, then Wentz would have sat on the bench and watch, and
right.
Might have been better off for it, but you know what? You know he'd be starting now with no experience at all. This way here, you know, he has a year under his belt. He took some hits, completed some passes, won some games nobody expected. I think it was a dive, but it was the right thing. I think the coaching staff made a good decision there.
Well, I like him. I mean, I think that I like, you're right. I mean, sometimes he's not as accurate as he should be, but, you know, and also...
His ball tends to sail.
Right.
And that's a bad sign for quarterback, because they have to be able to keep the ball low.
Well,
so only their receiver knew. When the ball was sailing, the defensive backs are going to, you know, have a field day. So that's something that he has to work on. And no doubt the coaches are working on that with him.
But I think also, you know, the problem that I see in Philadelphia is the fans don't give anyone any time. I mean, they're just...
No, they're screaming for a Super Bowl. They're in a very tough position where there have been 12 Super Bowls, one in the division, by the other three teams, and they have none. So there's a tremendous, you know, pressure on them to get to a Super Bowl in the next couple of years and finally win one. But we'll see. I frankly think they're 2, maybe 3 years away. But in this league, with the injuries and the free agency, it's so hard to predict.
Well, I mean, the only thing we seem to predict every year is, unfortunately, is the Patriots.
Well, you know, I mean, you got to remember, we said this before, they play in the weakest division in the NFL with three teams who haven't been relevant in 20 years. So it's an automatic, you know, they've got those six games that, you know, they're going to win five of those six games, usually all six. They're going to have no competition to win the division. Well, that is a huge advantage.
Yeah, it really is.
You build your season and you pace yourself to go into the playoffs knowing by November you're in. You get 2 months to plan for it. Huge, huge difference.
And I think sometimes because their players don't have to play such tough games, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but they don't have the injuries.
Well, you know, they have their share, too. I mean, you can certainly argue with Gronkowski.
Well, that was, yeah.
That is an injury.
Well, that's just Gronkowski. I mean, you know.
That's just him. But they've got others. But they've been blessed. They got lucky in a six-round pick who, other than the 1 year, you know, when he got hit by the Kansas City Chiefs and tore up his knee in the second game, other than that, he's never had a bad injury.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, they've been very fortunate. And you've got to give the guy a lot of credit. But having said that, like what they say in sports, you know, you've got to be lucky and good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, take a look at teams. You know, look at baseball. You take a look at teams in the AL East where you've had the Yankees and the Red Sox the last 20 years, both with dynasty type teams, winning eight world championships in the last 20 years came out of the AL East with the Yankees and the Red Sox. So if you're Toronto, if you're Baltimore, if you're Tampa, yeah, you've had years where you've had good teams, but you know most years either the Red Sox or the Yankees are going to dominate.
But
you're
think
to put up with one, if not both of them.
You know, I'm not a big baseball fan any longer, but always the view of the Yankees is that they just paid for whoever, you know, whatever talent,
well,
and
yeah,
you know, they just
know
paid
you
so
know what?
Much.
You can say that, and of course, nobody has said that more than me. And to me, I mean, the 2009 championship they won was an absolute joke because there were three free agents out there. There was A-Rod, there was CeCe, and there was Burnett. And the Yankees went out and spent a $500 million to get all three.
You know,
all three, and then they won going away. You know, that was a joke, and I've always said that was a horrible thing that the commissioner's office let them get away with to buy. Basically, buy. That was the first year of the new stadium. They had to win. It was Girardi's first year. They had just watched the Red Sox win two pennants, and they basically said, "We're going to spend $500 million because we can't stand to see the Red Sox win again. We have to win one." And they went out and did it. And okay, but to their credit, they spent the money well. You take a look at, you know, a stumblebum team like the New York Mets, with all due respect to my son-in-law Ryan, who I'm going to see tomorrow, and if he's listening, maybe.
And my husband Dave.
Yeah. I mean, the Mets, I mean, you have a laundry list of players they have spent tens of millions on who have not come through. You know, the Mo Vaughns of the world, and on and on and on. So, yes, in a way, you can criticize teams. The one thing you do have to give, and albeit reluctantly on to my way of thinking, is you do have to give the Yankees some credit that
for having a lot of money.
They had a lot of money, and you You know, but that's why people criticize Donald Trump. Oh, what do you expect? The guy was a zillionaire. No, he wasn't. He had $5 million and he turned it into a billion. So you could argue the Yankees had a bunch of money, but so don't a lot of other teams.
And yeah, but the Yankees
aren't willing to spend the money, or they spend it on the wrong free agents and they stink.
But I don't think that's a good comparison, because the Yankees at least have not filed bankruptcy a zillion times.
But
you know, a lot of teams, they couldn't compete with that kind of money. And you know, I mean, like the Milwaukee Brewers, for example.
Well, so that is what separates the NFL from all other leagues, Pat. As you know, as
right.
a lawyer, you know that the NFL is a partnership of 32 separate businesses, okay, who pool their efforts, pool their money, and they split everything equally, even NFL properties, which now we know Dallas, the Giants, the Packers, and New England, those four sell as much as the other 28 teams combined.
Right.
Okay, but they only get 1/32nd of the revenue. TV money, 1/32nd of the revenue. And I've said this before on the show, credit for that goes to the Mara family, because in 1959, when they negotiated with CBS for the TV rights, there was they went to the Giants and said, look, you're the Giants. They were coming off a world championship year. You're the New York team. You're the marquee franchise in the NFL. Packers had not won anything yet. Lombardi was just getting there.
Right. And no, they hadn't won in a long time.
And they had been garbage for so long. And the Giants could have said, well, you know what? It's us and everybody else, so we want 50% of the money and then let the other schmucks divide up the money. And they didn't do that. Mara said, to his credit, you know what? There's plenty enough for everybody to go around, and we will be better for it if everybody shares equal.
And they were, you know?
And they were. He had the vision to do it right. So because of the Mara family, they don't get enough credit for that, because, you know, current generation, nobody knows about this. This was 1959, okay? It was 68 years ago. And, you know, a lot of these things are lost in history. But basically, it was the Mara family. It said, we'll have revenue sharing. And that set the model, the template for the NFL, which to this day has by far been the most successful professional league. And baseball has never been able to do it because one family wouldn't go along with it. And that's why, for all the accolades you can give to the Steinbrenner family, I vilify them, because they could have had an NFL-type situation. But no, they were the Yankees, and they want to be able to freewheel, free spend, and then clock all the profits from all the marketing, the TV rights. I mean, they get $500 million a year from the YES Network before the first pitch is thrown. They have a check for $500 million from YES.
Right.
So, I mean, you got that, but then you look at it and say, well, the Mets have SNY, similar thing, but they've squandered the money. So the Yankee fan will say, we, yes, have a big advantage, but we used our advantage wisely, as opposed to other teams who did not use it wisely.
Well, but other teams would never have that advantage. I mean, the market, we know that. I mean, why in the world did the Big Ten allow Rutgers and Maryland to come into the Big Ten? Obviously, they wanted to get some East Coast presence
right.
for the TV. I mean, why
TV.
Else would they have? I mean, there's no way that Rutgers or Maryland are anywhere close
really
to be a
his Rutgers won a Big Ten game. I think in two seasons, I think they're like 0-18 against other Big Ten. Yeah. They didn't come close.
So, I mean, you know, but you know, this it's very interesting, because, of course, being a diehard Packer fan, you know who saved the Packers. George Halas.
Well,
all
right.
those years ago,
right.
if it hadn't been for George Halas, the Packers never would have been able to make it.
That's true.
And, you know, Green Bay was such a small market. I know when my husband Dave grew up, The guys would be working at, you know, regular
construction jobs.
Off season. No, they really did. I mean, he worked.
Can you imagine Aaron Rodgers carrying around cinder blocks and saying, "Hey Joe, where does this cinder block go? Where do you want me to drop it?"
Well, I know that somebody worked at one of the dairies, and you know, they, it's a big change. Well, of course, back in the day, they also threatened all the players around the league if they didn't shape up, they would send them to the Packers.
Right, and there's a famous story, and I can't remember the player. I'm sure you know this story, Pat. One of their star players, it might have been Horning, either went into Lombardi and said, "Coach, I want to renegotiate my contract." Remember that story?
I don't remember that one.
It was a big star. Now, maybe it wasn't, but basically what Lombardi said was, "Son, if you don't get back out there and show me what you got, I'm going to cut you tomorrow." Meanwhile, this guy was like an all-pro, and basically had the guy going out in tears.
Yeah, and these guys were not paid that much when you think about
it. No, in fact, they used to say they played so hard because they needed the money. They had to get into the playoffs because they got paid extra money. And by extra money, I'm talking $5,000 if they won the championship.
Right. Well, at one point, and I may have said this before, and this was a few years ago, of course, but the average NFL retirement was like $12,000 a year.
Right.
Now, it wasn't that many years ago. I mean, you know, they could not live on that amount of money. And, you know, I remember a couple of players when I read their divorce complaints. They started out at like $200,000 a year. I mean, that sounds like a lot of money, but not if you don't really make it and only play for a couple years. You know,
First of all, you sacrifice building another career. Secondly, you probably sacrifice your body to some extent with the hits you're going to take.
Oh, there's no question about that.
So, Pat, when we come back, it's time to
I guess it is time to
go see with some sponsors.
That's right.
But when we come back, hopefully the venerable Bill Wolfson will be here because we have some NHL stuff.
Well, I was going to say, you've got to talk hockey. I've been watching some hockey.
We will.
Okay.
Be back, folks.
Yeah, stay tuned.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Pambi's Purely Delicious Ice Creamery wants to help you raise money for your local fire company. In honor of International Firefighter Day, Pambi's will be holding a 2-week fundraiser beginning May 2nd. Pambi's will donate 25% of your purchase price to your designated fire company. Simply download the flyer from the Pambi's website and bring it to Pambi's, located on Route 31 just north of Payne Road. Pambi's will also donate 25% of your purchase of Pambi's products at ShopRite. They have flyers there too. Honor the men and women who would risk their life to save yours. Pambi's, purely delicious.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property, can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Ready to start your child's entrepreneurial adventure? Join us for this exclusive entrepreneurial learning event featuring the award-winning game Launch, limited to just 40 kids in the 4th through 8th grade. Friday, May 12th from 6 to 9 at the Deer Path YMCA, Woods Church Road in Flemington. Register online at huntertonchamber.org.
3, 2, 1.
Okay, we're back with the sports guys, and we have a up-to-the-minute score. Guys, what's happening?
Good afternoon. This is Bill Wolfson, and I'm pleased to report the New York Yankees playing the world champion Chicago Cubs. That sounds strange. Down 2-0 in the top of the ninth. Brett Gardner delivers a 3-run home run, and Aroldis Chapman sets the Cubs down. In the bottom of the ninth, and we have a Yankee 3-2 win. So now the Yankees are 8-9, one of the better records in baseball. But, John, can this continue? Will the Yankee pitch?
Bill, again, to continue our off-air discussion, the Yankees are leading a charmed life. Right now they're getting some timely hitting. The young kids are playing fairly well, and they're getting just enough pitching to win. Quite frankly, the pitching has been excellent, far beyond my expectations.
Well, you know, it's a funny year. It's a long season. Baseball is a grinding sport. We're going to see how C.C. Sabathia is holding up when it gets to be the end of July or early August. I think right around that trade deadline, the Yankees are going to need a good starting line pitcher, and I can see them offering a talented young guy a Triple-A ball like Rob Refsnyder, who's shown he's got big league chops, to some team for a couple of good starting pitchers.
So in other words, they'll snooker somebody real good is what you're saying.
Well, you know, they're going to get value for value. Everybody sees the Yankees coming. Remember, John, you call them the evil empire, and certainly a lot of other GMs think that way.
Well, we were just talking about how, you know, they buy everybody. You know,
not so much anymore. I mean, under the new regime, since George passed, they have been a little bit better. In fact, one could argue that the Red Sox have outspent the Yankees in some respect the last couple of years.
Well, the Yankees' goal has been to get under the cap, and they've tried to do that for many years unsuccessfully. Finally, they had the retirements of Jeter.
The big numbers came off the books, A-Rod and Jeter.
They came off the books. You had Mario Rivera, who retired. You had a number of Mariano who left.
And then Posada a couple of years ago. So you had the big five, I guess, big four.
So the core of a lot of their championships are now gone. And it's interesting because if you read the Philadelphia papers, as I do every morning, what you're finding is the Phillies are now
supposed
to take...
Well, you are a glutton for punishment.
It's amazing.
The Eagles,
Jets,
the Phillies,
Jets.
The... Wow.
You know, I'm the advocate of the downtrodden, and I root for them every day.
Apropos for a commercial / bankruptcy attorney, I get it, Bill. So, Bill, what did you glean from the Philadelphia newspapers?
Well, the Philadelphia newspapers have said the Phillies have to forego a lot of big contracts, and they're rebuilding their team from the farm system up with some good draft choices, picking up on some good young guys.
They have like seven of the top 100 best players from, what is it, MLB, whatever it is, their rating system.
Oh, that's,
and
that's,
the Phillies have more than any other team.
That's absolutely true. And remember, the Phillies are a second-place team right now. They're playing, you know, behind the Washington Nationals, who have a good team and will probably win the division. The Phillies may sneak in and be a wild-card team this year or maybe next year. But I think that they're going to put a good product on the field. And, you know, they're past the Ryan Howard era, the Cole Hamill era, where there were a lot of large contracts, same problem the Yankees had. Remember, the Phillies showed up in the playoffs for about 10 years in a row, and they won it all, I believe, in 08.
They won in 08.
They won for a lot of reasons
in 08. I think they had four consecutive playoffs.
Right. Right, and not the least of which was guys like Ryan Howard, who's now trying to make a comeback in the minor league.
Yeah.
You may remember in 08,
yes.
Ryan Howard had 58 home runs.
Right, yeah. No, he unfortunately, his career was cut short by injury, but quite frankly was on a path to be a Hall of Fame player.
I thought so, and you know.
He had five great years. You need a little more than that.
How old is he now?
Ryan
he's probably about 32.
37.
Oh, is he that old, Bill?
Ryan Howard is
37. I didn't know that.
And remember, the Phillies had a real potential star in Dominic Brown, and he just fizzled out on them.
Yeah,
yeah,
and
but 37. I mean, other than Satchel Paige,
yes,
who would be, you know, really make it in?
Yeah, Plus, to come back from an Achilles, which
right.
is so
well, how about
tough.
Warren Spahn? He was 42 when he hung it up.
Yeah, but he played consistently. Yeah, but Satchel was probably 50. But no, Warren Spahn was great. I mean, in fact, he was one of my all-time favorites because, you know,
he played for the Braves. Yeah.
Milwaukee Braves.
Were her in. If I mentioned somebody from the 60s who played for the Braves.
Yeah, yeah. Or anybody within 1,000 nautical miles, Bill.
You know what I did when I was a kid. I mean, that's all we did was...
Pat, this is a family show, as Bill would say.
Family show. We don't want to know, Pat.
No, watch sports. Baseball.
Of course.
You know, in fact, the big thing was... All of us who were Cub fans when the Braves came from Boston, you know, we were little kids, but we were all Chicago Cubs fans. And mm-hmm. then, you know, that was a very interesting time in the late 50s when they came from Boston.
Well, that's exciting because, you know, when you have a new team that comes to town, everybody gets up for it. By the way, I was reading that the Oakland Raiders have now purchased real property in Las Vegas, literally
yep.
at the south end of the Strip, just in the...
You and I saw the site.
Right, right behind the Mandalay Bay.
Right, and that's not far from the arena where the Golden Knights will play.
Wow, did you expect that they'd be that close? I mean, that's really...
Tendency today really started by the Meadowlands and then Philadelphia is to put the stadiums close by, Bill, and I think that's because of the roads, the infrastructure.
Well, remember, the infrastructure can be shared, the off-ramps can be shared. The real problem that you have is you've got a football season ending right around the same time hockey's beginning to ramp up. Remember, the NHL season starts in October.
But it really starts in January.
But, you know, except for us hockey fanatics, for the casual fan, it doesn't start until February when the Super Bowl is over. But, you know, when the Raiders moved to Vegas, they're building a $1.9 billion stadium. The land
wow.
cost them $775 million. And they are already selling seat licenses at $4,000 a seat. I have to believe a lot of the casinos or the casino companies like Caesars Entertainment. Are
oh, absolutely!
These up.
You know everybody because they're going to be so many package trips. I mean,
absolutely.
We've talked about this before.
Yes,
but you know, can you imagine? Giant fans or Philadelphia fans.
Well, they do that now with the Super Bowl. You know, the team that goes to the Super Bowl only gets 5,000 tickets.
Oh, I know. It's
and
ridiculous.
Some years, 2,000. Because most of the tickets are sold by the NFL as part of packages.
Right.
And they're sold to all the corporations.
And it's mostly corporations. I actually know somebody that is involved. And when the second Giants-Patriots Super Bowl, it was $25,000 a person. And they were sold out. And they had a waiting list of hundreds of people who wanted to pay that kind of money to get to that Super Bowl. So, yeah, huge market there. But the other thing, as we've talked about, is people are going to go out to Vegas to see their team. I mean, when the Giants are out there, the Eagles, the Packers, the three of us. Of course, I don't need an excuse to go to Vegas. But I know I can count on you guys. Can you imagine that weekend junket? We'll do our show on Friday, head to the airport, go out there, go to the game. We'll play on Saturday, go to the game on Sunday.
Do you think we could have a business write-off, an expense?
We'll figure out some way to write for three lawyers to write off a trip to Vegas.
Hope the IRS is not listening.
Yeah, this is true.
But just as important, the Raiders, when they move, will still continue to be known as the Raiders, first of all.
Yeah, they won't lose that. And there's no question they won't.
But they won't be the Oakland Raiders.
No, I don't think so.
Raiders. The second thing that's
what's significant about that?
Well, if you think about it, Las Vegas is kind of got a pirate theme with some of the casinos, and it's a marauding type environment.
But to keep the name Raiders, did you think they'd change it?
No. I personally did not, because it's such an attractive logo for so many
people. Logo, the name goes back to 1960.
The pirate with the eye patch and the football
helmet. I mean, that is a priceless logo. In fact, if you look at most of the NFL logos, they're priceless. They're absolutely priceless. Now, some of them are ridiculous, like the Cleveland Browns, who have no logo. They have an orange helmet. But, I mean, some of them are absolutely beautiful pieces of artwork and, are worth a tremendous amount of money for trademark. Of course, there's one you can get real cheap. You know what that is?
Go ahead, John.
The Washington Redskins. And why is that, Pat?
Because of the logo.
Well, no. We'll give you a second. Counselor, we're going to give you a second.
Because of the name, the Redskins. A lot of people that find that really objectionable.
The answer, the definitive answer is that the U.S. Office of Patent and Trademark took their trademark rights away because the name was found to be offensive.
Right.
So right now, anybody can use the Redskin name and logo and pay no royalties.
I didn't know.
That's very interesting. I had heard that, too.
Oh, sure. And Schneider still won't change it.
So then what's the difference? I mean, we know that every time we buy any shirt, anything with the Green Bay on it, it's going to be
About
twice
25% of that's going right to NFL property.
So now anybody could manufacture Redskin?
Yeah. Of course, I think the point of it is who would want to.
That's true.
I suppose
they're fans.
Well, if you're an older Redskin fan, maybe. But they were always a team that I hated as a child.
Yeah, exactly.
But, I think that is an offensive. Now, you'd say to me, well, you're a Chicago Blackhawks fan, which is true.
Well, but that was a proud Indian nation.
It absolutely was a very proud Indian nation. So people will say to me, well, why do you think that's
okay? Well, just like the Florida State Seminoles. In fact, they took a vote of the Seminole Nation, and they voted 95%
to keep the logo and keep
the nickname.
Well, I have a question for both of you. If Washington Redskins were a perennial Super Bowl participant, would they have had the same
problem? I think so. I mean, it's offensive. There are some words that are offensive, and we could think of all of them. John is Italian heritage. We could think of a few names.
Certainly
being Irish, there could be a few names that would be offensive.
Yeah.
But that really is very offensive.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is, if you want to talk about an offensive logo, the Cleveland Indians used a caricature of an Indian with feathers sticking out of his head.
Yes. Well, which I always thought was a cool logo.
Suddenly.
Very cool.
Suddenly, that's off their hats.
You're right.
And it's now a C for Cleveland.
Right.
Well,
that's
and the Atlanta Braves and even the Milwaukee Braves. It was the way that they did their little, you know, dance in the stands that really made that, I think, offensive.
Yeah, but that wasn't the team. That was people who did that.
I understand that.
Team promoting that kind of thing. I mean, the Braves, the some of these
people are so ridiculous.
Me,
don't you tell me that Ted Turner, who used to sit up
didn't
in
the capitalize
stands,
on
oh,
that?
Oh, he was the one who probably started
the tomahawk chop.
The tomahawk chop.
You know, it's funny. I think I've told this story before. 1996, and the Braves are up 2-0 on the Evil Empire. And I come in to, in our Rotary Club in those days, you had the right to, well, you still kind of do, but you can pay a quote-unquote fine and say whatever you want, basically. So I, of course, was so delighted that the Braves were up 2-0. And so when we met for lunch on that Tuesday, when it came my turn, I think I paid $1, and then I sang the Tomahawk Chop theme, all right? And everybody in the room is grimacing, and they're throwing stuff at me, and I'm like, you know, go Atlanta. Well, the following Tuesday, when we reconvened our Rotary meeting, as I'm walking into the room, 40 people, they had this pre-planned. They all stood up and sang the tomahawk chop at me because, of course, the Yankees had come back to win that series. And again, one of my worst moments that I can recall. But another reason why I disdain the Atlanta Braves. But.
Well, that 1999 series, putting aside the 96 series, the 1996-9 series had that one of those great moments in stupid bigotry when John Rocker of the Brave relief pitcher was talking about how much he hated going to Shea Stadium on the number 4 train because of the ethnicity was so varied of all the people who rode on there with him. And when he got to Yankee Stadium and he came out in relief, the boos.
That is correct. You know, forgot about that.
I was at that World
that
Series.
John Rocker, right?
John Rocker.
Rocker. Andy they rocked Pettit, him all right.
Andy Pettit gave up 5 runs, and they took him out after the 4th inning, and the Yankees got all of them back. They brought in John Rocker, and I will never forget the towering home run hit by Tino Martinez.
Okay, guys, you know what? So we got to play a couple other spots from our sponsors. We'll come back.
Okay.
A couple end notes, and then Cinco de Mayo, if anybody's celebrating,
Mayo.
You can go celebrate.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Okay, guys.
They can upstage the Devils.
Let's go back, and I think we want to talk about the NHL.
Yep, well, so Pat, the number one overall pick in the 2017 NHL draft belongs to your New Jersey Devils. And, Bill, who's going to be following up closely, looking over the Devil's shoulder?
Our Philadelphia Flyers.
None other than the orange and black Halloweeners. And at this point, you have yet another confrontation between the Devils and the Flyers, because let's face it, there's supposedly two stud players in this draft. So it means the Devils and the Flyers are going to get those guys. So what it means is the pressure is on New Jersey, because what if they pick the wrong guy forever? The Philadelphia fans will be saying, nah, 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 nah.
No, the Philadelphia fans won't be doing that. They'll be scratching their cars.
Well, that too. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Especially the cars of those who are stupid enough to park in Philadelphia with the Devils, Red Sox, and Giants logo on their car. But we won't mention any names.
So I'm assuming, I don't know why you would be bragging to have the first and second pick unless you traded up for them.
No, actually, the Devils won the lottery.
They won the lottery.
Oh, that's how they do it?
Yeah, the Devils had an